So outside of here today, there's a parade going on, the Mummers Parade. And I have to say that I was tempted for about a half a second to do the Mummer Strut coming up the center aisle. But in here there was another parade, not called a parade, but a procession, as we entered to celebrate the solemnity of the Epiphany, also known as the Feast of the Three Kings, but more technically, it's an epiphany. That word is an interesting word because epiphany means manifestation, revelation. But it's a type of manifestation or revelation which is sudden. It's sudden. It's like those moments at times we have where the light bulb goes off, right? Or something happens and our reaction is like, ever had those moments? We all have had them. And that's what we celebrate today. One of those moments of epiphany, of urgent and quick and sudden revelation and manifestation that leaves the world in a gasp. Leaves the world in a gasp. We have a depiction there, actually, of kind of like what happened there that day over 2,000 years ago. I doubt it actually looked like that, but that's kind of like what happens, what happened there. You know, guided by a star. The reality is the star is really important because the star guided them to where the Christ child was. Now, discerning which star to follow is not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. Now, sailors have learned how to navigate by the stars, but I would be lost. Totally. You see, there's lots of stars, right? When we look out to the dark sky, especially if you're in a place that's not filled with artificial light, you really see stars. Like, I've been out on boats out in the middle of the ocean where there's no light. And when you look up, it is just hundreds of thousands, I think, of stars. And one of them, as the wise men looked, one of them was, only one of them, not a bunch of them, just one of them, was the one that would guide them. But how do you pick? How do you find? Stars are interesting because not everything that you actually see shining out there is really a star anymore, actually. If you know anything about stars, and I know little, but I know this, that some of the light that's being emitted and coming to the Earth that we think is a star, that star might have blown apart thousands of years ago. And if you were to take a rocket, a spaceship, and follow that light and go to that where that light was coming from, you would actually find nothing. The only thing that we see here is the light that has been traveling. And it takes that long for the light to travel through time. But the source of that light is actually not there anymore. It's gone. It exploded. So not every star that you see, or light, any that way, that a star is emitting is backed up by an actual star. So how do you discern, right? In one way or another, we all have followed stars. What do we human beings seek on the planet? We seek purpose, we seek meaning, and we seek peace. In all sorts of ways. That's what we look for. We seek for purpose, we seek meaning, and we seek peace. And we spent our whole life trying to find these three things. In the professions that we embrace, in the relationships that we enter into, in the decisions that we make of where we live, where we go, and what we get and what we don't. We make decisions all the time about all sorts of stuff in our lives. What's behind it? We seek purpose, meaning, and peace. And then we follow the guidance of stars, if you will. We look at catalogs. When we're trying to decide what school we go to, we go and we visit this one, that one, and this one, and that one. Even schools, high schools. I was talking to the daughter of a friend of mine the other night at dinner, and she's thinking about, well, she has to decide what high school she's going to, right? She went to one high school, and she says, but I didn't like that high school. Says, what didn't you like about that high school? At the end, they really follow all the same curriculum. I said, I didn't like the shoes they wore. So there's all different types of things that guide our decisions, all geared towards finding meaning, purpose, and peace, somehow, in some way. What's challenging is that of all the stars that are out there, not everyone takes us to a place where we find meaning, purpose, and peace. That's kind of like the challenging part. That of all the stars that were out there that night, these wise men were able to discern the one. And that one took them to leave the place they were. There's always this theme in the scriptures, right? That when God calls, you have to leave something behind. And they had to leave where they were and go someplace else. Leave where they were and go someplace else. And then the star took them to ultimately, to the one. The one who, after all is said and done, after all we've done on the planet and all we do and everything that we spend money, time, and effort, and after all is said and done, the one who gives us meaning, purpose, meaning, and peace. And that's Christ the Lord. And what they find is this little child, like anybody else, just another kid. But they were able to discern beyond the appearances and know that this was the Christ. And they bought him homage. They knew that he was the gift. They didn't give him gifts because he needed gifts. I said the other day, if I was a kid and someone, a kid that age, and for my birthday, they bought me frankincense, myrrh, and what was it, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If I could talk, I would say, really? Really? That's what you bring me? What does that all mean? Those gifts are not really for the child. They were proclamations, right? They were little epiphanies. They were revelations of this child who would be a king. Not like the kings that we imagine, but a servant king. And that his life, his whole life, would ultimately be a prayer to his Father, offered to his Father. And that would result in his death. Because myrrh, the total giving of his life, myrrh was actually used to prepare a body for burial. So it was all kind of in those gifts the whole gospel story gets told. Not to the child, but to the world. An epiphany. And here we are, now over 2,000 years later, from when they took that picture, we're still talking about it, reflecting about it. Also knowing that each one of us in the short time that we are on this planet was really short. We think it's a long time. I'm 60. And I know, well, I don't know when, but I know that it will come to an end, as I understand it, right? that if this was a football game, at this point, even though 60's young, I'm in the fourth quarter in the last 10 minutes of that game. I've played most of the game already. And the Lord has followed us and guided us through His light, through His light. What is it then that the Lord wants of us, though, on this day in which we gasp, day of the epiphany, this revelation of who this child is, who will grow up and he's going to get lost in the temple, he's going to get his parents all upset, he's going to go back to Nazareth, and we're not going to hear nothing from this guy for 18 years. We don't know what he did, where he went, what he was about, nothing. Until he appears back on the stage of the world at around 30. And we know the rest of the story. What does he ask of us? Whether it's that child who's being adored by three wise men who had to leave where they were to go and find him, who had to discern from the many stars that were up there which was the one that would take them to the one who will ultimately bring purpose, meaning, and peace to the world. What does he want then of us? I find a little story. The little girl was concentrating really hard on a picture she was drawing with her crayons. "What are you drawing today?" asked her mother. "God," was her reply. God was her reply. "But you can't draw God, darling. No one knows what God looks like." "Well," said the little girl, "they will when I'm finished my picture." The fact is that we actually don't need a picture because the picture was already given. It's that little Christ child who will end up on that cross. And everything that happened between that day and that day. Kind of interesting, right? That you got the Christ child and the crucified Lord. And between there and there, lots of things happen. And there is the picture. And the gift that God gave us in becoming man in this little child, which will end up over there, is the picture of what God looks like. He looks like love. He looks like forgiveness. He looks like a friend. And he looks like a brother. Merry Christmas.